D4, number 20A.
All right, we were just considering the order of the Christianity in Christian Science. And when you look it up in the glossary where this order appears, you discover that Mrs. Eddy puts a semicolon after every synonymous term. See, on page 465, where she gives the answer to the question, what is God, she just puts a comma after every synonymous term. And so on page 115 in the Christ translation, but here in Christianity, she puts a semicolon after every synonymous term. And the semicolon stands for a full stop. Therefore, for a sense that after every synonymous term, really the thought is finished, so to say, comes to an end, meaning that here she gives the bigness of the idea by bringing the idea of Christianity always right back to the final point, to the synonymous term. It's principle, so every idea is as big as principle. Mind, every idea of mind is as big as mind itself. Soul, every idea of soul is as big as soul itself. And you get that even more that sense of bigness of an idea, that really idea is just the way a synonymous term is operating. It's the way a synonymous term is expressing itself. But it's still the synonymous term. It's not just idea. I like to bring that home in all sorts of ways which is possible in using language and so on. That idea is not something here on a place and then on a leash somewhere on principle, you see, and principle having all the reins in his hands and all these ideas at the end of the reins and of the leash. And idea is right there where principle is. That's the Christianity sense. That's what we saw, that in Christianity the idea is in its principle and is found in its principle. And so every idea is brought right back to the synonymous term. So we get the bigness of Christianity as the outcome of the Christ idea symbolized through synonymous terms. It may be Chinese or double Dutch when you hear it for the first time, but the second time and the tenth time and the hundredth time you think it over, you are overwhelmed by the spiritual import of it. We said that the focal point of Christianity is spirit, because spirit is in the middle of it, spirit, and spirit is that which indicates quality and quantity. You see, quality and quantity, meaning every idea is as big as its synonymous term. So that we can never have an idea just as an idea. We always have an idea in its principle, in its synonymous term, in its bigness. So that wherever an idea is, the whole of being is. And this gives us a sense that every opportunity, every situation, every occasion is God's occasion. It's God's opportunity. And not just one single isolated opportunity. This must be the spiritual point at which Mrs. Eddy must have discovered Christian Science, and in that consciousness she was writing the first edition of Science and Health, which is definitely different than the last edition of Science and Health. Because when you take the first edition of Science and Health, we read these very things which I was presenting and which are no more in the later editions, namely that she would show that the idea is as big as its synonymous term. She would write, for instance, in the first edition, Jesus regarded himself principle instead of person. See, she doesn't say Jesus regarded himself as the idea of principle. She says Jesus regarded himself principle, not person. She says, at present we know not what we are, but hereafter we shall be found love, life, and truth. She doesn't say, hereafter we shall be found as the idea of love, life, and truth. She says, we shall be found love, life, and truth. Once you have seen the focal point of spirit, the indivisibility of spirit, the absolute indivisibility of spirit, we can no more divide between principle and idea, between the synonymous term and the idea. We can no more. She would say in that edition, we are soul, spirit, and not matter. She would say that we are spirit, and spirit is God, is undeniably true. That we are spirit. She doesn't say that we are the idea of spirit. So you can see at that point she has grasped that oneness of being and that true sense of Christianity. Naturally, she had to change it at that time. At that time, it was too dangerous because people would read it and would understand under we the mortal. And then naturally it's wrong. But today, where we have begun to see what being is, and that we drop the term I and me and you and he and she, and drop the term man, and drop the concept of being sons and daughters of God. Would you like to be a son or a daughter of God? I don't. I don't like to be son nor daughter. I like to be I amness, being, isness, but not sons and daughters. If you are a daughter, you have to look after a son, and if you are a son, you have to look after a daughter. It's too much trouble. Being. Must be being. See? So today, we can go back to what Mrs. Eddy has seen, and see it, that really we can see that if we are spirit, we are not material, and that is undeniably true. In this vein, you see, she could see that all was named man is really, or what was named idea, is never man or idea per se, is always in the synonymous term, in principle, where we find Christianity in its principle. Look here what she was saying. She said in that first edition, Jesus' marvelous works were readily accounted for when we remember Christ is God and that Jesus held all that he was. God. He held all that he was, comma, God. He held God. God didn't hold him anymore. He held all that he was, God, and wrote from the standpoint of his God-being, God-being, from his God-being. Jesus considered him God-being, God-idea, not just idea, but God-idea, being-idea, beingness, or whatever you may call it. He considered himself I amness, beingness. Gosh, I am coining new words all the time. But you can't help it, you see, in order to express this. And this was the science of being. That's her quotation from the first edition. in the present edition also, she would speak of men when equipped. When equipped, how does it run? When we equipped every idea with principle or something like that. I just don't have the quotation. Equipped with principle. That's what she is showing, you see, through the Christianity or through those semicolons. That every idea is equipped by its principle. It's not just idea. It's principle idea. It's God being. Or you can say, we are mind being. We are spirit being. We are soul being. We are principle being. We are life being. We are truth being. We are love being, you see. Then we get the much higher sense, a much more correct sense of our being and of beingness, so to say. Yes, so we can see how this order runs of principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love. I just want to go over it again just to get the touch of it. It's a wonderful touch. Always remember, what is the focal point? Christianity. What is Christianity? The outcome. What is the outcome of a principle? Idea. How big is an idea? It's as big as its principle. So if we want to know our Christianity, our beingness, we see our beingness is not the person, but is principle in operation. It's principle being. So, you see, we get the impersonality of principle right away. And I begin to see if I want to know what is being and my beingness, I say, well, my beingness is nothing else but principle who only knows itself as ideas. And it says, therefore, all is idea, mind. I have therefore principle as being the principle-mindedness of the whole realm of ideas. And so I get already a principled sense of an infinite realm of ideas. At that moment, I ask myself, what is the nature of those ideas, of the realm of those ideas? And soul tells me that nature is exactly identical with its principle. So here soul gives that wonderful sense that principle and its expression are absolutely identical in its nature. Therefore, that the quality of an idea is the quality of principle. That the power of an idea is the power of principle. That the substance of an idea is the substance of principle. You get the wonderful sense of complete identity between principle and idea, between creator and creation, between cause and effect. And having that identicality, the isomorphy, so to say, of principle and its expression, you see as spirit that this expression is an infinite expression. No limitation. Infinite transparency of that expression. Therefore, no duality in it, no distortion in it, the purity and reality of spirit there. And the moment you see, therefore, that every idea reflects the whole principle, you say, well, what is that principle? What is the essence of that principle? And it says, the essence of that principle is life, truth, and love. So that not only principle is life, truth, and love, but that every idea has within itself the infinite qualities of life, truth, and love. And there you really come to a pure sense of Christianity. I try to show it. You have it on the next page, page 5. I just try to indicate what it implies when we get, you see, that true sense of Christianity, or instead of Christianity, we could say of beingness, in order to take it away from manhood and man and so on, from beingness, to say, to see that at this point we have life, truth and love of the idea, you see, of Christianity. In the world, just to pinpoint it, in the world, life was the Father, truth was the Son, and love was the Mother. Then we saw last time, the moment we come to the Christ, we have the expression of the Word. Instead of life, Father, we have the fatherhood of God, the fatherhood. You remember, we were speaking about the hooding, huh? And the shipping, huh? The expression of the Father. Therefore, the sonship of God as truth, the motherhood of God as love. But when we come to Christianity, we have in the focus the idea, no more God. The idea. And so the idea reflects fatherhood, sonship, and motherhood. We have, therefore, the fatherhood of the idea, the sonship of the idea, and the motherhood of the idea. No more of God. You see? Now, we can see that every idea, through that pure reflection of spirit, that every idea is therefore father, mother, and son to every other idea. And the infinite reflections are so infinite that you can see how infinite they become, because in this reflection of the fatherhood of the idea, you can say, yes, you can be father to yourself first. We have to be father to ourselves. But we have also to be father to the others, to the other ideas. And we have also to see that the others are fathering us, to themselves. And fourth, that they are fathering ourselves. They are father to us. Can you see all this reflection? And so it is with sonship, that we are sonshipping ourselves, that we are sonshipping the others, that we see that the others are sonshipping themselves, and that the others are sonshipping ourselves. And so with mother, that we mother ourselves, that's the biggest thing, then we mother the others, or the other ideas, then we see that each idea mothers itself, and then we see that each idea mothers ourselves. And you have this enormous family relationship, true family relationship, one universal reflection. That's why she speaks, you see, of life and love in Absolute Christian Science as the one Father with his universal family. This is the universal family held in the gospel of love. Love. What does it mean? I can't tell you what it means, because I tried to once to write it down for me and just make a few notes, and I saw it goes over pages and pages, so I thought it's no use. I don't have time enough to talk about this alone for hours. So I just indicate what you can do and what a pure spiritual feeling you begin to get the moment we have this true Christianity, which has nothing anymore to do with people, with men, but which has to do with idea reflecting fatherhood of the idea, sonship of the idea, and motherhood of the idea in all those four reflections. Just take one example. For instance, let's take the fatherhood of the idea. The idea reflecting life, the fatherhood of life. First to ourselves. Who on earth is ever fathering himself? That's what I would like to know. When I think about myself, I see that I don't do it very often. I sleep. Fathering ourselves is to be seeing ourselves, giving to ourselves as idea all the infinitude of ideas and giving it and giving it and giving it. Attributing to ourselves, that's the fathering of idea, attributing to ourselves that we are all the ideas, that we possess all the ideas, that we have all the ideas, that we incorporate all the ideas, that we express all the ideas. We give to ourselves all the ideas. That's fathering ourselves as idea. So we start in this infinite reflection by seeing the fatherhood of the idea and attributing to ourselves, to our being, to our beingness, everything of the nature of ideas, projecting on our lives everything which we know about the ideas of God, sustaining us, maintaining us, providing us with all the ideas, therefore not depriving us mentally, consciously, of having these ideas. We are not fathering ourselves if we negate to ourselves that we have everything. I father only then the universe, my whole universe of ideas, if I father it by attributing to the whole universe everything of the nature of God, of the nature of being. Therefore, at this point, I can never rob anybody, any situation, anything of any idea. Therefore, I cannot criticize nor run down anybody, because I would not father that situation. Fathering any situation, the whole universe, is always that infinite projection of all the ideas. Then I father the universe. I can't just stay with the word and say the God Almighty, he is jolly well going to give to the universe everything it needs if I don't do it. That's the word. If I say, well, God Almighty, that's his job to do it, then I don't reflect it. Then I have no Christianity in it. I have to be of the equal quality as God, of the isomorphic nature of God, of the identical nature of God. So if God gives to the universe all the ideas and all the good, I jolly well have to do it also, or I'm not reflecting Christianity. In the three, in the fatherhood, I must see that every situation is fathering itself. I must see that everybody is conscious of fathering itself, acknowledging itself, therefore seeing and giving to each one all the qualities of earth. Therefore not having that sense, yes, I know the truth, but the other one doesn't. The other one does not know his true manhood. The other one does not know what is right. The other one does not know how to act rightly. Then I don't give him that quality that every idea fathers itself. And so my consciousness must change, must see that every idea, because of this reflection over principle, is fathering itself, is giving to itself all what it needs for every situation. And fourth, I go and see that the fathering of the idea includes that the whole universe is fathering me. That the whole universe is just giving me always, under every circumstances, all the blessing of earth, under heaven and under earth. That the whole universe is sustaining me. That the whole universe is maintaining me. The whole universe is providing for me. That the whole universe is projecting all the good on me. I can't have any more at that point a sense that the universe hates me, that the universe opposes me, that the universe is antagonistic to me, is adamant to me. I just have to drop that sense if I stay with that whole sense of the fatherhood of the idea in a universal way. Just I have been going through these 4 points with fatherhood of ideas. You can do it with sonship and with motherhood. And as you do it, and you do it in the quietness first of your consciousness, one builds up this unified, universal relationship and compound idea where each idea is father, son, and mother to every other idea, to itself and to the other idea. And we lose all that sense which does not give everything to everybody, which does not affirm all the good for oneself and for everybody, which does not protect and maintain and care and tend all the ideas for oneself and for everybody else. And slowly you drop the sense of me and everybody, of me and others and me, and slowly, slowly, you just get a hush, a hum of one life, one fatherhooding of the idea, of one sonshipping of the idea, not of God, of the idea, one motherhooding of the idea, where we just feel we walk right through the world, right and left and right and left. There is fatherhooding of every situation, of every opportunity, of every one, a sonshipping where one accepts and acknowledges the wholeness of one's stature and manhood, of the motherhooding where one feels that every situation is there for the good, that every situation is a blessing, that every situation is just admiring, worshipping the right idea. Where is there an enemy? Where is there an opposition? Where is there the necessity to fight against animal magnetism, against malpractice, against mortal mind, against enemies, and so on, and so on? It all falls to the ground. Falls completely to the ground. Just try to do it systematically. Try to do it systematically and take, as I have taken fatherhood, see, of the idea, and just think it through these four sub-relationships. The relationship to oneself, from oneself to the other, to the world to itself, and the world to us. Then you have covered, so to say, the main relationships of the whole universe of ideas. And then go to the sonshipping of the idea through these four again. Go through the motherhood of the idea through these four again. And if you stay that with that for a quarter of an hour, for half an hour, and do that here and then and the other, something happens. Something happens. What happens is that beautiful hush which says there is only one life, one father, one fatherhood. There are not people loving each other. There are no people hating each other. There's just life, living life. Truth, conscious of truth. Love, loving love. That's all that's going on. Nothing else can go on. It's completely impossible that something else could go on. And we are no more thinking in terms of people and of occasions and nations and age. It's just the atmosphere of this wonderful relationship, of that life, that one father with his universal family. And this is the universal family, one universal reflection held in the gospel of love, held in the gospel of love. So love really holds us. Therefore, love is, so to say, admiring us, worshipping us, upholding us.